The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Matthew 6:31. Mass deliverance from fear and anxiety. Does anyone here suffer from fear or anxiety? Okay, that whole section there didn't raise its hand. Praise God. Completely delivered. They're too scared to raise their hand? They're anxious about what will happen? This is the honesty section over here. They raise their hand. Matthew 6:31. Therefore, now I'm reading King James. I believe there are other versions that read a little different, but Matthew 6:31 says, therefore take no thought. Does anyone have a version that says something along the line of be not anxious? What is it? Amplified? NIV? NAS? Be not anxious is a more modern way. Now I want you to see, Jesus was addressing the problem of anxiety. And the first thing he says is do not be anxious. He says, saying, you know when you're anxious, it tends from the abundance of the heart what? This is what you tend to say. Anxiety in the heart begins to come out. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? He's talking about things that come out of the heart. Fear, anxiety. And the reason he talks about what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear, he's talking about the daily stuff of life. You understand? You can't get more daily than what you eat, what you drink, and what you wear. What he's saying, what he's implying, is don't be anxious in the day-to-day doldrums of life. He's not just talking about don't be anxious about the highfalutin big issues, you know. Shall I be a doctor or shall I be a lawyer? Whom shall I marry or where should we live? No, he's saying don't be anxious about what you're going to drink and what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat. Then he says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now again, he's speaking to a Jewish crowd. The implication is those who don't believe. People who do not believe. People who are not believers. People who do not have an intimate relationship with the Lord. Their life is filled with petty anxieties. Are you hearing me? The average person, it's possible to find people that aren't, but the average person that doesn't know Jesus, life is filled with petty anxieties. But here's a real travesty. Did you know the average believer's life has a lot of petty anxieties as well? Now that's sad. Now, if you're not saved, it's understandable. You're under the prince of the power of the air. You have no life. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. You're not only demonized, you're basically a demon. Do not be saved. You're not a demon. You're a human, but you're basically under the auspice and jurisdiction of Satan. So you might as well be a demon. Because demons are under the auspice and jurisdiction of Satan. And all of that mirrors out of your life of the unregenerate soul is that which is of the old Adamic or satanic nature. So it's natural they'd be anxious and troubled about many things. But what's sad is so many believers are too. And there's really no reason for a believer to be anxious. And that's what he's saying. He's talking to believers. In fact, you know, he's a few verses back. Did you know in verse 25 he said it before? He said, therefore I say to you, do not be anxious. What you eat, what you drink. He just said it a few verses. He says it twice. When Jesus says something twice, he's going somewhere. He says, look at the birds. And he said, you can see he's sitting on, look at the birds. You don't see birds wringing their feathers, fretting about bird seed, do you? And isn't it? All right, then he says, look at what? The flowers of the field. He says, and somehow the glory of flowers is greater than Solomon. Now this was significant to the Jewish mind. I don't know if you know how magnificent Solomon's court was. It was so magnificent that Queen of Sheba came to see him. And she came with this enormous retinue and gold and silver. And it says when she saw Solomon, the seating on his throne, the courtiers around him, the palace. Did you know Solomon's throne? Solomon's throne was made of pure ivory. Listen to this, pure ivory. It had six steps going up, and it had two lions on either side. Real lions. That's why there are Proverbs, it says, the fear of the king, it says, the roaring of the lion. Solomon wrote that. You don't mess with the man. You didn't come sauntering up to Solomon. You came in reverence to his presence. And everybody knew about the majesty of Solomon. Queen Sheba said, the half has not been told me. He took a breath away, the majesty of Solomon. And Jesus said, the flowers, the ragweeds, the sunflowers, the things you see on the side of the road are more majestic than Solomon. And he said, now if your father, and have you ever really looked close at a plant? Have you ever heard of the flower called lantana? I used to have a bush of lantana flowers behind an apartment I lived in once. They're the most amazingly intricate little flowers. And you know what's amazing? You can look down at a flower and just peel it back. You'll see the most amazing designs and colors and symmetries. And Jesus said, you know, do you know 99.99999 of those never get seen by a human eye? There's trillions of these things. Once in a while, a human may lean over and look at one. Oh, cool, you know. For everyone that's looked at, there's a trillion they don't look at. And he says, if God so takes care of the flowers of the field, how much more you? He's making a point. He says, God is so full of creativity, so full of sufficiency, so full of majesty, so full of care and provision that he just splatters it across his creation. How much more you, who's created in his image? That's why he's saying, don't be anxious. You don't understand who you are if you're born again. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. He says, look at verse 32, for your father knows that you have need of all these things. Let me tell you something. One of the most powerful things you can learn in your life is that God's in charge, man. He's sovereign. Amen? The same yesterday, today, forever. He is sovereign. He knows everything. He's totally in charge of everything. And Satan's greatest trap is to somehow imply, yeah, that's true, except for this. Or this thing, he's not really in charge of because it's your own doing. You did it. You got it going. So you're going to have to sit in it. And God's just going to sit back and let you kind of reap. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And so we give ourselves over to anxiety. But there's a lot of wonderful verses that say, commit your way into the Lord. Psalm 34. Or Psalm 37. Or cast thy burden upon the Lord. Or 1 Peter 5 says, cast your care upon the Lord. What? For he... See, the implication is we can... By the way, that word care is anxiety. Because it says, take no care. Be not careful. It says that 1 Philippians 4. He says, cast your anxiety on the Lord. You know, it really doesn't matter where the anxiety came from. Whether it's the result of something you did, somebody else did, he doesn't differentiate, does he? He says, be not anxious, period. For your Father knows what things you have need of. There is a real blessing of walk with Jesus a long time. There's a blessing. The longer you walk with Jesus, the better it gets. Period. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man in the Spirit, the longer I walk in the Spirit, you know what I'm learning? That my Father knows all of my needs. He knows before I know. He is with me. He takes care of me. And it is His delight to fellowship with me about stuff. And one thing that's really exciting I'm finding over the last few years is John 16, so it talks about the Holy Spirit. He says the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. And I'm finding that God shows me things to come. And it's really cool. Now, granted, it hasn't been the 6 lotto numbers of tomorrow night's lotto. Now, I will confess to you, when that lotto first came out, I asked Him to show me those. And so did you. Don't lie to me. And then the Lord showed me that proverb. It says, he that hasteth to be rich shall not be innocent. Okay, Lord, forgive me. But God shows me things, and that's a blessing. And I've learned to cock my ears and listen to Him in the Spirit. Because God does not want us walking blindly. Amen? We're not of the day. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, we're not of the night that we should stumble. We're children of the day, children of the light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, what? And a light. We're not this. It says the path of the just, First Proverbs says the path of the just is as the shining light. I love this. It shines more and more till the perfect day. That means every day there ought to be a little more light, and a little more light, and a little more light, and a little more light. It gets better. Is that encouraging? From the side of God in intimacy and His revelation and guidance, it gets better. There's also a flip side. More demons come at you. It's true. Because the more lights you got, the more demons there are to try to snuff it out. The more powers of darkness, the more you show up on Satan's radar screen. You know, when we're little babes, Satan doesn't want to bother with you. Usually dime store, maybe a 15-cent demon can pretty much wipe out most believers. And it's true. Well, once in a while, one of them wiggles out. You know, you see like, I was thinking the other day about an acorn tree. There was some statistic. Do you know how many acorns the average acorn tree drops in this fall? Some 2,000. Something astronomical. Unbelievable. Well over 100,000 acorns. 150,000 acorns. A tenth of a million. But did you know how many of those actually take root? Maybe one or two. God just threw a lot out there. God knows everything about your needs. And you don't have to worry. Worrying is a sign. In fact, I'm going to tell you, anxiety and fear is sin. Because it tells us in Romans that whatever is not of faith is what? Sin. Now, let me tell you something. Years ago, when I realized that fear is sin, I'm going to say this again. I want to say it carefully. When I realized that fear is sin, I got excited. Because as long as I thought of fear as an emotion, I didn't think I could ever be free. How do you get free from an emotion? But when I found out fear is sin, I can repent of sin. I can turn from sin. And fear is also a spirit. Anybody know the verse? We're not given what? The spirit of fear. Now, there's a spirit of fear, and there's the sin of fear. The spirit of fear comes when we yield to the sin. When we listen to the voices of doubt and unbelief, we give place to the devil. We listen to the lies. We begin to, we do not, as he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, casting down what imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing every thought in captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's what we're commanded to do, to walk, overcoming in our mind. But sometimes some reasoning, some high logic, some high thing gets past us. Like a stronghold, we begin to be intimidated by this thought, this concept, this idea having to do with the future, the past, or a relationship, or whatever. We get cowered under it. That's the sin. And then there's a demon leaning over and says, yeah, so it's pushing us at it. Pushing it at us. And then when that thing drops into the emotions, it starts in the mind. Then when it hits the emotions, that's where the turmoil happens. The anxiety and the fear and the panic. Remember the disciples out in the boat? And the water was like this, and they panicked, man. They said, Lord, don't you care? We're perishing. They're freaking out. And Jesus was asleep. And I can see him going, ugh. I mean, here, the Bible says the boat, Mark 6, the boat was full of water. That's what it says. It was full of water. You know what happens when a boat is full of water? I mean, up to the roof. You know what's happening? It is sinking. It is sinking. It is going down. And those guys are standing there in the middle like there's no boat. There's just water. And they're going down. Faster, don't you care? We're drowning. Jesus at the bow or the stern or whatever end of the boat he was in. He's leaning up, probably drowned. Just leaning go, what? What are you so fearful? Have you no faith? Peace, be still. Boom, instantly. Pool calm. Foam sitting on the water. They're going, ah. Oh. Apparently the boat kind of came back up. I don't know. Maybe this water left it. Freaked out when he said that. Just like Moses, you know, the water. And you know what it says? And they all went, is not this man God? Look, there had to be some sudden miracle. And you know the moral of that story? You know why he let them out there in the middle of Galilee? To be freaked out to the max. You know what? because there was something inside of them they didn't know was there. And you know what it was? It was, that. That was in them. They didn't know it. And so he put them out there, and it came right up. In fact, there was something else inside of them. There was a sin. There was a judgment. There was an indictment about Jesus. You know what it was? Don't you care? Whoa. They didn't trust him. They didn't believe he loved them. That came out. It's interesting that when everything hits the fan, what comes out is what's really true. Can I hear an amen? Oh, we're all religious and spiritual. Praise the Lord. I'm walking with Jesus in the Spirit. I cast out demons. I'm mighty in the Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lose your job. Get in a wreck. Kids get sick. Your favorite person, your unfavorite person decides to come over and hang around for a while. All this happens within a 4-hour span. Eh? And you forget that there's a God. God. God? And what comes up? What comes up is the very reason God... You know, if you can get this revelation, all hell can hit you and you can be at peace because you can say, okay, Jesus is here somewhere. And he wants to see what's coming up. And it's coming up big time. And I'm going to give it to him. Can amen? Because God is big and God can come right down as he did to Jonah. When Jonah in that whale said thank you. And read it. Jonah 2. Jonah came to a revelation. In the belly of the whale. It says, those that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Now, if you don't read any other book in the book of Jonah, any other verse in the book of Jonah, read that one. Because that's the one, a revelation he learned in the middle of horrible suffering. In fact, in most of my Bibles over the years, I've underlined it, and I thought, I need to memorize this, and then I won't have to go through that horrible suffering. Are you hearing me? The word was given in Romans 15 and 1 Corinthians 10 in the Old Testament so that we wouldn't have to go through what they went through. So learn, and what Jonah said was, those that observe lying vanities forsake their mercy. In other words, those that listen to lies open the door to all kind of junk. That's what it says. And when he saw that, then he said, and Jonah offered thanksgiving. He was actually in this horrible confines of a acid-filled... Can you imagine? Look, one of the most putrid things in the world is when somebody throws up, and he was inside of that stuff. In there, he began to thank Jehovah. It's true. Thank you, Jehovah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And do you know one of the, as a wonderful verse, do you know what it says? It said, and God said to the fish, this is some different version, puke him out. God told the fish to spit him out. And I told people, the fish is life, situations, and circumstances. And we're sitting inside of the fish saying, God, spit me out, spit me out. And all that happens, the fish goes deeper. You know, it actually says that the weeds are wrapped around his head there. The seaweeds. He went down to the foundations of the continent. This fish was the first submariner. I mean, way down in there. Going down, he could tell because he was like this, you know. We're going down. But when he gave thanks... God said, spit him out. And you know where he happened to land? Right where he ran. He landed where he ran. And God said, as he's laying on the beach in the slime of fish puke, looking up, and he's a prophet, he knew God, and he looked up and he said, okay, God, thank you. At least you got me out of there. And God said, well, let's try this again, shall we? Amen. God loves us, and he's trying to teach us something. Did you know this world is not our home? If you're born again, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, you're a stranger and a pilgrim. This world is not your home. Amen? Be not conformed to this world. They that love the world are in enmity with God. Don't let the world squeeze you in its own mold. That's the way Living Bible reads Hebrews 12, where it says, only be conformed to this. Don't let it squeeze you. Be careful. Because we're just passing through down here. And the only reason we're passing through, the only reason he leaves us here is he's testing us. He's conforming us. He's trying to clean us out. You know? So that we will have an eternity in him and with him. And this is real stuff, man. One day, we're all going to be judged and as believers, and it's going to be in the place, in the proximity, in the power of Christ's eternal kingdom forever. And where you are forever, and that's a long time, and what you do and what proximity you have in the kingdom of Christ is being determined in this brief lifespan called a vapor. I have a web page I found the other day, and it is a sobering web page. In fact, the guy lives in Houston. The title of the web page is whosaliveandwhosdead.com. I emailed him, and he said, "Oh, I know." He was from Pasadena, and he's a geek. You know, he's got a does something. I think he's an attorney or something. I don't know, but he keeps this whosaliveandwhosdead.com webpage. And what's really fascinating about this webpage is, if you ever wondered if so-and-so's alive, like maybe Lauren Green, you know, or somebody in the Bonanza, or like a politician, you know, you wonder, are they alive or dead? You go to Who's Alive, Who's Dead, he's got a little, it's kind of morbid, he has a little tombstone next to everybody that's dead. And he's a believer. He loves the Lord. He does. In fact, the head over his webpage is, "Do you seek the living among the dead?" Well, you gotta look it up, Dave. Who's Alive and Who's Dead.com. I don't know. But when I looked at that thing the other day, and I'm talking, it'll sober you in a good, healthy way. You go, my goodness, these are people I grew up with. These are people I knew about. These are people I thought about, and they kind of filled the radar screen of my life, and they're all dead! I mean, it's awesome. I mean, people growing up, the years, you know, the politicians and authors and actors, dead. And then they have the age, and they have a little star. If they made it over 80, there's a little star, you know. Still alive. No, I think Bob Hope's, what, 89 or 90-something? Yeah. But, you know, it's good to look at something because it shows you the brevity of life. I mean, in the kingdom of arena, I remember when John Wimber was one of my great heroes, and I went to all the Wimber conferences, and I was thinking about some of the other. Graham Polkingham was the man that started the Redeemer of the Church. He's dead. Robert Van Canton wrote that he just recently died. And you know what? It's healthy to look at that thing. Because, you know, we're not promised forever. Can I amen? And I want to get, I don't know about you, but to that last day and look back and say, you know, I lived every day to the max. Amen? And so I'll get a well done, not a medium rare. Well done. So, I told you it was just two verses. We'll get right through these. Verse 33. Now I'm going to show you, there are four principles here. Listen, you ready? Four principles here to get free from anxiety. Four. He says, be nice. The first one is, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. You know the first principle is to get free from anxiety? Is get your priorities straight. Hebrews 11 says He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek. James 1:8 says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Seek first. In fact, look at verse in that same chapter, verse 22. He says, the light of the body is the eye. If the eye, King James reads, single. The whole body's full of light. But if your eye is evil, a double, your body's full of darkness. In other words, get your priorities straight. Seek first Jesus. Did you know one of the reasons people are so tormented with fear and anxiety is because Jesus is not Lord? They're full of idols. And I don't know what I was talking about here or in Oklahoma, but you know, when I was in India, every idol often had a little hole in the back. And the reason they get a little hole is because they believe that's where the spirit comes into the idol. This is true. They leave a little hole so the spirit. And you know, it's the same thing too. When you have an idol, a spirit comes in with the idol. And the spirits bring torment. Do you know Satan's kingdom is ruled by fear? Christ's kingdom ruled by love. Perfect love casts out what? So to the degree you have an idol, to that degree you are anxious and troubled about many things. As Martha was. Martha was all freaked out trying to get Jesus. Remember? Jesus came to the house just trying to make everything right, pleasing, and just so frustrated. Came out, just spewed all over Jesus and her sister and told him, he said, Martha, you're full of anxiety. He says, Mary's chosen. Mary had a priority straight. Look, if God comes to your house, forget the kitchen. What shall we drink, you know? I mean, sit down at His feet. Die in the flesh. You can call out for pizza or something. You know, just sit at His feet. Amen? And you know, right there, you clear up a lot of the junk in your life. Now what's the next thing? Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, verse 34, or be not anxious for tomorrow. The second thing is, it's a command. It's a command to be not anxious. It's not a suggestion. He says, be not anxious. It's a command. And that's encouraging. So when you're anxiety, you're in sin. And you can say, Lord, I confess the sin of fear, the sin of anxiety. Forgive me for listening to the voice of fear. Forgive me, Jesus. I'm not trusting you. Forgive me, Lord. And you know, that's going to be the first step out of it. Forgive me for listening. I acknowledge you in all of my ways. You have allowed all of this so that you can see whether I'm going to respond in gratefulness or in whining and complaining. Work out your salvation, the Bible says, with fear and trembling. That's the fear of the Lord. Not with despair. You all know that verse, working out your salvation with fear and trembling? But he says in the verse, do all things without murmuring and disputing, for it's God that works in you to well and do for his good. God is doing it. What's the third thing? The third principle. Verse 34, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. First principle was, get your priorities straight. Second principle was, obey the command, don't be anxious. You know what the third principle is? Listen, you ready? Tomorrow's going to take care of itself. You know what does that mean? You know what that means? This is a warfare promise. What this means is that tomorrow there'll be grace. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now that's a powerful verse. God's able to make all grace abound to you, so you that, having all sufficiency in all things, can abound to every... Now, that's 2 Corinthians 9:8 is a good verse to memorize. In other words, you will never be lacking tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. And one of the greatest lies a demon used to trap me in for years, and he traps people, is the fear of the future. Or a fear of future failure, a fear of future sin, or fear that I'm going to fall in the future, or fear that I'm going to fall tomorrow, fear of the future. And this verse breaks that. Because you can say to the demon, wait, there's no grace in hypotheticals. You know what a hypothetical is? A hypothetical is some imagined event that's going to happen in the future. There's no grace in hypotheticals. As soon as you get in the realm of hypotheticals, well, gosh, if I do this, and then if this happens, oh my God, then maybe that'll happen, and then that, and you're all freaked out, man, and that's tomorrow. Get out of that. I mean, Jesus may show up at night, tonight, and you're all freaked out living in tomorrow. There's no grace for tomorrow. It's in today. So you can say to Satan, Satan, get thee behind me, because his mercies are new every morning. And when I wake up, there's going to be a whole bucket full of mercies and all kind of grace, and there'll be sufficient grace tomorrow to rebuke you. I'll tell you, the demon will fly. It broke that thing over me. I mean, that thing tyrannized, is that the word? Terrorized me for years and years. Fear of tomorrow. It's good to be free from fear. Can I amen? It's good. Because fear hath torment. How many of y'all like to be tormented? Torment me, torment me. Fear torments. You know, fear will mess you up physically. You know, you sit there and you get fearful. It gets in your stomach. It just does all kind of weird things in your digestive system. It manifests in allergies and all kind of ways. And fear's demonic, man. It brings in spirits. It can be the source of many diseases. Yes. Emotionally, spiritually, and even physically. Okay, what's the fourth promise? It is verse 34, sufficient to the day is the evil. Now this is cool. See, God knows that your main struggle is with evil. Did you know that? Every day we struggle with evil. Evil is the opposite of living. In fact, it is literally. L-I-V-E-E-V-I-L. It's the opposite. You begin to die when you yield to evil. Satan uses evil, either the evil in the world, the evil in others, or the evil in yourself. We struggle with evil, either the evil coming through others to us, the evil coming up from us to us, or the evil in the world. God knows the struggle with evil. Evil is not yet bound for 1,000 years. He will be, praise God, at the beginning of the millennial reign, but he's loose and walketh whither he would, and he rules. He's the prince of the power of the air. But this is a promise, because you know what it says? Sufficient to the day is the evil. You know what that means? You only have to fight today's evil. Anxiety is fighting tomorrow's evil. Did you hear that? You only have grace for today's evil. Anxiety is fighting tomorrow's evil. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. The last place we're going to look, Philippians 4. That's the four keys to overcoming fear and anxiety. Now here's the promise. Philippians 4, we're going to look at three verses and we're going to be done. Philippians 4, 6, be careful for nothing, King James reads. Anybody, does any of y'all's version say be anxious? Be anxious for nothing. Let me tell you something, guys, if there's ever verses you want to memorize, it's these two verses. Oh, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Do you see the little nugget in the middle of that verse? What is it? Be careful, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, what? With thanksgiving. That's the key. That's the key. Whatever you bring into God, whatever you bring, offer to Him, give Him thanks in the middle of it. This is the will of Christ Jesus. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, what? That's what got Jonah out of the fish. That's what got Paul and Silas out of the jail. They were down there for the count, man. And God sent an earthquake and liberated them. I'm telling you, the greatest praise and worship you can give is not here. It was easy tonight. A river was flowing through this place. All you had to do is kind of lean over and you were in it. The greatest praise and worship you can give is when all Hades is breaking loose in your life. God seems a million miles away. Your friends are all into themselves. Nobody wants to listen to you. You're just frustrated. You feel bad. You feel sick. There's no money. There's no this. There's no that. You just, you know what? That's it, man. Right there. I'm telling you, at that point, you know, I think during all the praise and worship, the angels are sitting back. God's just going, oh, I like this. This is great. They're kicking back, you know, in the divine lawn chair, listening to all that worship. But when the pressures come and the demons work, you know, and they've been planning this, and suddenly all the pressure's there and all the demons from hell. And at that point, I think God's leaning over, and all the angels lean over the banisters of heaven looking down. What's He going to do? What's He going to do? Can I imagine? Because that's where the medal is told. See? That's where the character is told. What's He going to do? And unfortunately, many of us go, what we do in that moment, we go, we freak out. And so God in His mercy, because He doesn't want you to die, He pulls you out. Put you back at the beginning of the board, you know. Yeah, the game of life, you know. Go back to Marvin Gardens, you know. Here you are, just about a park place, you know, or a boardwalk. Baltic, what's the... Oh, Lord. Come on, am I talking about here tonight? You know, we laugh, but I'm telling you, this is reality. That's why He says, therefore, how's that Romans, Hebrews 12, in the midst of many witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Yeah, great. It's almost like they're all watching, you know? Will you let it go? Will you finally let the sin go? Come on! Here's Samson and David, come on! But no! That verse, the just falls seven times, he says, that's his major verse. He's living it out. God wants us to grow up. Verse 7. You know what I call verse 6? You put it in your margin, that's the praise break. In everything, give thanks, praise Him. I did a sermon, it was New Year's Eve, this past New Year's Eve, at 12:45. They said, Chris, 11:35. They said, you're going to preach tonight. Well, you know, they get to go on these New Year's Eve service things and this and that. And then at 11, they gave the pulpit to another guy. Said, well, he's going to preach first. And I go, well, that's cool. And I tell you, this guy was cool. I got to have him down here. He's cool. He preached on Golgotha, Gabbatha. No, he preached on Gethsemane, Gabbatha, and Golgotha. And this guy's known Jesus for 60 years. And I'm going, and he's getting to Golgotha, and he's just leaning over here like he's an old guy, leaning over just saying, and the cross, the blood. And so he's done it at exactly 11:35. He sat down and says, Chris, you preach. So I'm sitting there going, that was a wonderful sermon. In fact, I gave away my title, but Gabbatha, you know what Gabbatha is? Gethsemane was the garden. Gabbatha was the judgment seat before Pilate. And Golgotha was where he did it. Oh, it's powerful. Sent chills up my spine. So they said, okay, you got 25 minutes. I had to be done by midnight. So I pull out one of my favorite teachings. You know what it was? How to have a demon-free day. You know what it was? Praise breaks. Talked about Daniel. Daniel's secret. You know what Daniel's secret was? Every day he went and he knelt down three times and he worshipped three times a day, morning, noon, and evening. It says that in the Psalms. Morning, I even found three places in the Acts. Morning, noon, and evening. Praise breaks. So that when he ended up in lion's den, guess what? Lions didn't have a chance. See? He had authority over those lions. When he ended up in the den, he said, lions, you ain't ready to eat. You're on a fast, lions. Can I imagine? Because of his praise breaks, he, in the den of lions, he was the man. See? And when we learn to praise him and get in the spirit realm, when God allows you to be packed in the den of lions, you can say to the lions, I bind you, be silent, and they will move. And I know, because I've been there, and I've learned. And I'm learning. You can silence lions in Jesus' name. You can stop him out. Hallelujah. Gentlemen, that's the Son of God. And then when they took him out, and the guys who put him in the lion's den, and they threw them down, and he said, okay, lions, supper time. And they ate him. It says they ate everything. The guys and their wives and kids, and he says, and they broke all their bones before they even hit the bottom. Those guys haven't had praise breaks. That's what happens. So you know what verse 7 is? You can write this in the margin. This is the peace break. Do you know after a praise break, get still and let God's peace come on you. And the peace of God, oh, I love this verse, which passes all understanding. What? You know, the margin, the Greek reads, will garrison and mount guard over your mind. It is so fine. The Greek reads, will garrison and mount guard over your heart and mind, Christ Jesus. You know what that says? Literally, it's a military terminology. The original Greek. There will be a garrison of soldiers assigned to guard with weaponry your mind and heart in Christ Jesus. That's powerful pictorial language of angelic beings who camp around about them that fear him. Hearing amen tonight. Praise break, praise break. And what's the result? You know, I used to look at verse 8 for years and think this is something I got to do. Okay, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, things are just, things are pure, things are lovely. Okay, let's see. Okay, what have I done today? I've done that one. Oh, I've done that. Oh, I've done that one. I've been doing. You know what? I don't think the word was written that way. I think that's just a picture of what will happen and flow out of you. When you run to praise him and you run to get peace, guess what your life will mirror? Things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, and praise. And it'll just, your mind will be peaceful and orderly. That's a great promise. And you know, when you've learned to take charge of your heart in praise and worship, to move and learn to resist fear, you can live an overcoming life. Can you hear an amen? Okay, keep the tape on. We're now going to have some mass deliverance. We've got a few minutes left. Lord, I thank you. Say this after me. Jesus, set me free from fear and anxiety. I want to know you in intimacy. I want to be close to you. Come, Holy Spirit. Bring your warring angels in the room. Let them do battle against all the forces of darkness that would keep me bound tonight. Satan, I bind you and your demons. Every spirit of fear, anxiety and worry, and doubt, I suspend your activity over me. Jesus, I'm ready to receive deliverance. I will resist from my spirit. Because Satan leads when you resist. And I'm just going to begin to command these spirits to come out. I have a list here. I came up with a number of them that aren't in this list, too. I'm realizing this list of 1,000 is not enough. Finding all these ones of them. But I'm going to come against these things. I'm just going to begin to address them. And all you have to do is agree with me. Just say, yeah, go. No, go. Two words you ever say to a demon, no and go. You just resist that thing. Resist the devil and he will flee. Jesus, Lord, I pray you'd lead me tonight. I'm going to start off. In the name of Jesus, I come against every spirit of fear that's got itself lodged down inside the emotions, down inside the psyche, down inside the imaginations, down inside the memory banks, down inside all of the areas of the soul. In the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, Satan, I take that power of fear tonight. I bind the strong man in each soul here tonight, and I command you to loose your hold. Loose your hold on these saints tonight in Jesus' name. Loose your hold. Come on, in Jesus' name. Every fearing, every tormenting fear, fears of the future, fears of what's coming, anxiety and worry about tomorrow. Jesus said, be not anxious for tomorrow. It's been sin. Okay. Say this after me. Jesus, I confess the sin of fear and anxiety, fretting about tomorrow, fighting tomorrow's evil, getting in all kind of hypotheticals, worrying and fretting about a lot of things, and not sitting at your feet. Forgive me, Jesus. Give me deliverance tonight, that I may be more faithful with praise breaks and enter into the peace that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. Now, Satan, you heard him say that. Now, come on. In Jesus' name, all that fear of the future, fear of things to come, fear that things aren't going to work right, fear that things are going to fall apart, fear that things haven't worked right up to now, they're certainly not going to work right down the road. It totally takes God's sovereignty out of it. Fear of failure, fear of taking risks, fear of stepping out in faith, passivity, all the passive fear, all the passivity, fear that comes from passivity and laziness, paralysis, emotionally paralyzed, physically paralyzed, spiritually paralyzed from fear, immobility. I pick your power. I need you to come out in Jesus' name. Buying the lie that things aren't going to change. Boredom, being bored. Buying the lie that life is boring and things aren't going to change. It's a lie from the devil. For our God is a consuming fire and there's nothing boring about a fire. Father, I pray loose the fire of the Holy Ghost down on these saints tonight. I take the power of that lie and take the power of the curses in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. Come on, fears. Every fear. Worry. Come on, worry. Fears of rejection. Fear that others are going to reject you. Fear that you're not going to be loved. Fear that you're not going to be accepted. Fear that you're going to be neglected. Fear of abandonment. Come on in Jesus' name. Fear that you've been abandoned. Fear that you're going to be abandoned. Fear that in the end, all I'm going to see that God's going to abandon you. By the way, people may abandon you. You may be betrayed and rejected and be by men, but you know what? God will never abandon you. In fact, you'll never know his intimacy until people do. Until you're willing to have the guts to be abandoned and forsaken and rejected, you'll never know his intimacy because we have to share in the sufferings of Christ. Oh, come on in Jesus' name. Fear of the sufferings of Christ. There's one. Fear of the cross. Fear of going through the cross. Fear of being crucified. Fear of losing life. Fear of losing your life. Did you know if you're afraid of losing your life, you'll never find it. You'll just hang on to rags. Fear of the cross. Fear of of crucifixion. Fear of the grave. Fear of the spiritual grave. Come on, I beat the power of that spirit in Jesus. Those lies. Satan does not want you to face the cross. Satan does not want you to face what God has been trying to get you to time after time after time. And you've been fighting God, and when the pressure comes on, you freak out. He has to pull you out and put you back at the beginning of the game. And you play it over and over, and God wants to set you free. He loves you. And each time his grace, when sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Each time he's more and more with you, not less and less. He loves you. He wants you to learn to walk. He doesn't want you to keep crawling. He wants you to grow. Oh, I'm going to beat the power of those demons. I beat the power of the spirits of fear. I beat the power of the spirits of despair and hopelessness. Take a deep breath, saints. Come on. Thrust the things out. Come on. Thrust them out in Jesus' name. Fear of witnessing. Fear of being bold. Fear of knocking on doors. Here's one. Come on. Fear of witnessing the gospel. Fear of sharing the gospel. Fear of man. Fear of man is a snare. Fear of people rejection. Fear of being rejected by the world. Fear of using your gifts. Fear of stepping out boldly using gifts. Fear of prophesying. Fear of moving in the gift of tongues. Fear of moving in the interpretation of tongues. Come on, in Jesus' name. Fear of testifying. Fear of getting in front of people. Fear of sharing the word. Come on. Fear of being vulnerable. Fear of being accountable. Come on. Speak your power. Come on. Fear of being exposed. Fear of letting things come to the light. Come on. Jesus, the Bible says, he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. But he that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Hidden things are things of the occult. The word occult means hidden. Fear of things coming to the light. Come on. Come on. In Jesus' name. Come on. Speak the power of these spirits. Come out in Jesus' name tonight. All the anxieties, all the frettings. Psalms say, fret not. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on, all the apprehensions, the attractions to horror movies, I break that in Jesus' name. There's a bloodlust, attraction to horror movies, attraction, reading articles that are full of fear, reading novels that are full of fear, attraction to movies. God says, the Bible talks about putting your hand before your eyes and closing your ears to the bloods in Isaiah 33. And it says, if you do this, your eyes will see the king in his beauty. A lot of us cannot see the king in his beauty because our ears are filled with the bloods and our eyes are filled with the evil of this world. The Bible says, look straight, turn not to the right or to the left, and look unto the Lord. I break the power of that bloodlust. I break the power of that obsession, that curiosity, that affinity, that fetish for the things of the world, for horror movies. I'm picking Jesus. You need to renounce that. It'll open you occult spirits in Jesus' name. Curiosity of things of the occult. Curiosity of magic. Curiosity of seances. Curiosity of all new age dalliances. Curiosity of the occult. I beat this spirit. Look, if anything will bring fear to your life, it's the occult. Any and every occult involvement. Curiosity of snake charming and snake worship and hexes and vexes and sending off hexes. Curiosity of using witchcraft to control others. Wanting to learn about that, exploring that, exposing yourself to that, looking at things that you know you shouldn't. God is saying, this is what's opened the door to fear. You tell it to go tonight. Name of the Lord! Witchcraft fear. Curiosity of witchcraft. Curiosity of using witchcraft to get your way. Being tempted to talk to the devil. Wanting to make pacts with the devil. Being tempted to say to the devil, hearing the voice of the devil saying, I'll make it work for you, just consult me. And you listen to that voice. Oh, you need to renounce that tonight. Making pacts with the devil, consigning yourself, listening to that snake spirit say, I'll get it for you. Now, God isn't coming through it for you, but I will. You renounce that tonight. That's pissed straight from hell. And that's opened a highway from hell into your soul of fear and anxiety. I beat the power of that. I break every pact. I break every covenant. I break every assignment. I break every detente. I break every agreement with every devil. And break in Jesus. Do you agree tonight? Satan, we break you. Break the power of these witchcraft spirits. Break the power of these occult spirits in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on, kids. Take deep breaths. Let them out. Let them out in Jesus' name. Some of you kids are exposed to this stuff in your schools. It's just full of witchcraft. Watching these TV shows that are full of witchcraft. That's why you can't hardly watch anything now. It isn't going to have perversing, taking God's name in vain, or some kind of illusion to New Age witchcraft. Folks, you cannot listen and expose yourself to the world. And then you lay down at night and you wonder why you have dreams and nightmares and you're tormented at night. Well, the Bible says dreams come through the multitude of busyness. And what you put in the eye and the ear gate will manifest in the heart gate in the middle of the night. It's a sign. God says, close those gates. Separate yourselves. Come out from among them. He says, be ye separate, says the Lord, and I'll receive you. He says, therefore, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In the name of Jesus, I break every psychic tie and break every psychic hold in Jesus' name of the witchcraft. Take a deep breath. Come on. Let it all out tonight. I'm being spirit-led in this. I didn't know I was going to go down that road. Spiritual blindness. Spiritual darkness. Spiritual bewilderment, spiritual confusion. This is all the result of fear. Oh, la makatidibe. Unable to find peace. Cannot find peace. Lack of peace. Can't call upon God. Can't find God. Despair. Feel like God's left you. All of this is indicative of spirits of fear. That is what they minister to you. Come on. Come on. In Jesus' name. Easily panicked. Freaking out. Panics. Panic, cowardice, being afraid, cowardly acts, cowardly, not willing to go and work things out with others, fearful to bring things to the light, fearful to confront others when God has told you to go to your brother and rescue him and warn him, fear of warning your brother, fear of confronting your brother, laziness, passivity, disobedience. Come on, take a deep breath. Dread, not liking to be alone, fear of being alone. Can't be alone. Scared of being alone. Always wanting somebody around. Wanting to cling to others. Clinginess, leechiness. Take the power of that. Come on, that's demonic. God wants to teach you to be alone and be at peace. Amen? Jesus said, I'm not alone, for my Father is with me. God wants you to learn there's times to be with God's people, there's times to be alone, and to be at peace to be alone. And you know, when you're alone at peace, then you're nice to be around. People that can't be alone are miserable to be around, because they're clinging at you all the time. Oh, la maquita, the embarrassment. Embarrassment. Feel quickly embarrassed. Break it in Jesus' name. Overly, excessively sensitive. Always very thin skin. Excessively sensitive. Easily frightened. Overly excitable. Come on, in Jesus' name. I break these spirits. I break these holds in Jesus' name. A fear of being accused. Fear of authorities. Fear of authority figures. Man, this is one that had me. I can remember. I was so bound by fear of authority figures. When I first went to Church Redeemer in 1976, 75, they sent me to vacuum a room with this guy, and he was in charge of the maintenance of that room. There was this guy who was just on the maintenance crew with me and me. And simply because he was in charge, I was intimidated by him. He was in charge of vacuuming the room. I was helping him. And because he was the head vacuumer, I was freaked out. That's how much fear authority had a hold of me. Just the guy that was kind of the head janitor guy freaked me out. I mean, I had a lot of years of healing. Come on. Fear of authorities. Fear of anybody because of your father figures. Amen? Because of abuse. Because of some model where you abused or yelled or cursed at. Come on. I break the power of that fear in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you to work in their lives, bring the healing and deliverance. Oh, how far we can come when we seek Jesus. Fear of being a victim. Fear of being attacked. Fear of being attacked. Fear of being raped for the women in Jesus' name. Fear of being burglarized. Fear of being murdered. I always love that story of that lady and that stop and go. That guy came, stuck a gun in her face, said, give me your money. She said, well, he said, and then he said, aren't you afraid? She said, no, sudden death, sudden glory. Guy laid the gun down and got saved. And he ended up leading other gang people, and she ended up having a ministry to gangs because of that. Can you hear an amen? That's a child of God. That's where we all ought to be. Our life is there. Somebody threatens a life. Well, I guess Jesus is taking me a little bit home a little bit sooner than I expected, but that's okay. Sudden death, sudden glory. Can you hear an amen? We don't have to be afraid. You know the most worst thing could ever happen to you? The worst thing? You could be instantly in a land of eternal joy and peace and pleasure forever and ever and ever. That's the worst thing. Can you hear amen? That's just to keep you awake. Fear of being exposed. Fear of being humiliated. Come on, I break the power of that. Fear of being humiliated. Fear of being humble. Fear of being wrong. Fear of being wrong. That's a woman demon. No, I'm sorry. I'm spoke it like a true husband. And the fear of always being right from the men. No, I'm kidding. Oh, the Jezebels are coming up. Look at Jezebel spirits. I'm just smoking them up. Come on, come on, come on. You know we're always right. No. You know what? When you think, what's the thing? It's not who's right or who's wrong. Right, ladies? It's who's loving. All right, here's one. This is one that I have fought with. Fear of our claustrophobia. Fear of closed-in places. Do you know, if I will sit there and imagine a closed-in place, being trapped in it, I panic. Father, I pray you bring deliverance to me and who else? Come on, fear of claustrophobia. I think it has to do with something when you're little. I don't know what it is. When you're probably in a crib or something somewhere, who knows, smothered. Well, in the name of the Lord, we break the power, the spiritual power of claustrophobia. The spiritual, because you know, Jesus is with us. Jesus, and Jesus was pinned down. Jesus was put in a position where he couldn't move. In fact, he died because he couldn't lift up himself. And in the power of Jesus' crucifixion, we break the power. We take the power of claustrophobia off myself. I take that spirit. I need you to go in Jesus' name. Take the power tonight. Fear of closing places. I need you to go. Name of Jesus. We don't have to be afraid of anything. Jesus with us. Can you amen? Oh, I'm a fear of being confronted. Fear of rejection. Fear of being confronted by others. Fear of correction. Fear of correction. Oh, my immediate defensiveness. Fear of darkness. I always have to have a light on at night. Fear of the dark. That's not of the Lord. The first Psalm 139 that says, even in the dark, everything's light about him. We don't have to be afraid of the dark. Amen? I've known people had to have a light on at night. Not that there's anything intrinsically wrong with that, but if they're doing it because of fear, there's something wrong. You know? There's nothing wrong with a nightlight, but if you do it because you're afraid, otherwise, then that's a bondage. In Jesus' name, say this. In Jesus' name, I have authority over darkness. Darkness is under my feet. I don't have to be afraid anymore. Darkness, go in Jesus' name. Fear of darkness. Fear of death. Fear of death. Fear of dying. I break the power of the fear of death. Boy, that was a snake that had a hold of me. I remember I got deliverance at a church retreat. I had 8 people praying for me. That thing was writhing out of me. It came into me when I was a kid. That's a powerful spirit. Fear of death. I break your power in Jesus' name. I break the authority of that spirit. Change you to go in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come out of there. Come out of the saints tonight. Fear of death. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Change you to go. Out of the soul. Out of the mind. Go. Go. Jesus' name. Look. To live is Christ, to die, the Bible says, is gain. Hallelujah. God doesn't want to take you one day before your time, but you don't want to hang around after that. Come on in Jesus' name. I take the power of that fear. Fear of demons. Fear of fighting spiritual warfare. Fear of diabetes. Notice these are alphabetical. Fear of diabetes. Fear of sicknesses. Fear of diseases. Fear of cancers. Come on. Come on. Fear that I'm going to come down with cancers. Fear that I'm going to come down with the disease my mama had, my great my grandmother had, or my father had. Come on. You renounce that thing. You say in Jesus' name, that isn't, say this, in Jesus' name, the infirmities and sicknesses and afflictions of my parents and my grandparents up 4 generations, I break them off me tonight. In Jesus' name. Cancer, you have no hold in me. Rheumatism, no. Heart disease, no. Cancers, no. Heart problems, no. Heart murmurs, no. Come on, name whatever's in your family. Come on, name whatever's in your family. Parkinson's disease, no, in Jesus' name. Come on, come on. Name it, renounce it. Alzheimer's disease, break it. Break its power tonight. Name it, Jesus, come on. Allergies, break the power of that in Jesus' name. Fear of future failure. Fear of tomorrow. Fear of future sin possibilities. Fear that sin is going to overcome you. Come on. Fear that you're never going to overcome. Fear that you're stuck. Come on, renounce it. Say no, Satan, no. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Ah, his mercies are new every morning. God has wonderful things for us. God's able to make all grace abound towards you, through you having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. It's a powerful verse. It's a wonderful promise, 2 Corinthians 9:8. Sufficient of the day is the evil thereof. Fear of giving love. Fear of intimacy. Fear of being intimate. Fear of opening your heart. Fear of being honest. Fear of being real. Fear of being vulnerable. Fear of heights. Fear of heights in Jesus' name. Come on, I break the power of that. Fear of heights. Fear of flying. Go in Jesus' name. Go. Look, it's okay if you're flying, because if you're going to die, you're up closer to heaven. It's a shorter way to go. You know, it's like somebody said, I'm not afraid of guns. It's just those bullets. Well, you know... Don't be worried about flying, it's crashing. It's not flying. Flying ain't gonna hurt you. Okay, fear of losing your salvation, which is silly. Man, you're graven on the palms of his hands. I tell you what, nobody can take that away from you. Fear of making wrong decisions. We only have about 760 to go. Fear of not being liked. I'm kidding. Fear of pain. Fear of people. Fear of people that are a pain. Fear of burning, okay. Yeah, you know, I just read yesterday. Did you read? No, today, some little girl got trapped in a stairwell, and mom and brother went in there, and they got burned, third-degree burns, and the child was killed. That happened yesterday here in Houston. But what testified to me is mama and brother were willing to go in there and get third-degree burns trying to save this little one. And that could happen to any one of us. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that you know, every suffering that could be conceived of man was inflicted upon Christ. And so we don't have to be afraid of anything. Can you hear an amen? Jesus even once said, fear not them which kill the body. That's what he said. Do not fear them, but fear him who can cast the body and soul into hell. Amen? If you're going to fear anybody, fear God. By the way, did you know the more you fear God, the less you fear men? Did you hear what I said? the more you fear the Lord, the less you'll fear men. Because the more you're worried about what he thinks, the less you care about what anybody else thinks. Amen? I'm concerned about what he thinks, the heck with everybody else, and that's a healthy place to be. Praise God. Fear that you'll never overcome. Fear that you'll never be free. Fear of your potential to sin. Fear of punishment. Fear of, I'm just going through these lightly. Fear of, fear of singing. Okay. Fear of speaking the truth in love. Fear of fear of violence. We've hit a lot of these. Yeah, that's a good one. Fear of dancing in front of the congregation. Fear of getting loose. King David danced before the Lord. He said, I will play before the Lord. He said, I will be yet more vile than this. I mean, David, that was why he was a man after God's heart. He didn't care. It was his wife that all freaked out. Remember Michael, through the window looked to criticize to start? Because she saw that King David had a dancing heart. And she was the one that ended up barren. Frightening dreams, fear of nightmares. How many of y'all have nightmares? Come on. Raise your hand. Keep them up. Keep them up. Nightmares. Okay, now I want you to say this, in the name of Jesus. Put your hand in your head. If you have nightmares, say this, in the name of Jesus. This is God's jurisdiction. This mind is the Lord's, for I have the mind of Christ. I forbid you to tread on this holy ground. Father, put angels around my mind, my intimate thought life. And from this point on, I renounce the sin and the ways that I've allowed stimuli, and things to come into my ear gate, my eye gate, and into my heart that have agitated my brain and allowed myself to be tormented in the night. Convict me. Stay on me. Help me to renounce anything that gives place to the devil that would rob God's precious sleep. Now, if you mean that right now in Jesus' name, I beat you, nightmare, and I hand you to go to these things now. Spirit of nightmare, I beat you, hand you to go now. Go, go, hand you to go. Out of the mind, go. Now, in Jesus' name, out of the mind, go, hand you to go. Go, go, now. Out of the imaginations, go, go. I cleanse it. Father, I ask you to send some angels with big buckets of blood and start swabbing the deck with the blood of Jesus. Swab the deck. Swab the imagination realm. Come on. All the imagination. I command all you demons, line up now and march out. March out now in Jesus' name. March out now, tormenting fears. Come on. Tormenting fears. Being chased by goblins and being chased by evil people. Go. 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 I command you out of the mental realm. And Jesus, I banish you out of the psyche. I banish you out of the mind and the imagination. I command you to go. Take your power. Go. Take a deep breath. Let it go. Go. Now. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I beat your power. Name of Jesus Christ. Take a deep breath. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. I'm going to read a verse. I'm going to love that line. There's a wonderful promise. He says, my son, let not these things depart from your eyes. Listen, sound wisdom and discretion. That means being discreet about what you let come into your ear gate and eye gate. So there'll be life to your soul and grace to your neck, and you'll walk in your way safely, your foot won't stumble, and when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yea, you'll lie down, and your sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, or the desolation of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence, and he'll keep your foot from being taken. People quote those verses, but they don't look at the condition of the promise. The condition is keep sound wisdom and discretion. Be wise about what you let in. And then God will give you sweet sleep. Amen? And I tell you what, when you let something in, like I'm going to be getting real, if you're a guy and you looked at pornography, though I know women look at it sometimes, but nothing like guys, if you expose yourself to that, or if you've looked at some movie or something that's let stuff in and you just go to bed and it's just hung up inside of you, here's the good news. You have authority to cast it right back out. All you got to say, Jesus, forgive me. I let that junk in. You know, I see the folly of it. Forgive me. You're instantly forgiven. It's as if it never happened. Then you turn around. You do some self-deliverance. You say, now in the name of Jesus, everything that came in, I command you, turn around and march yourself right on out in Jesus' name. Can I enter that? I have literally had self-deliverances where I'm laying down, sitting on the chair or something, praying. And I said, okay, in the name of Jesus, march your fifth out, whatever I let myself in. And you know, I've literally sensed and seen the Spirit like a long line just walking out. And like an image or a picture just shrinking and disappearing. I can't even remember what it was. That's deliverance. We have that authority. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's what it is. We have that authority in Christ. Can you imagine that? And what you get as a result is peace. Peace of mind. And you can't pay enough. There are people tonight all over this city spending all kind of money trying to find, guess what? Peace of mind. And it's ours if we'll just take up our authority, take up our sword and fight. It's ours to be had. Can you imagine? A few more things. What? Fear of burning. Okay, she's saying I missed it. Okay, in the name of Jesus. Fear of burning, fear of fire. Fear of being burned in the fire, whatever. There's a word for that. I forget what that is. Olamasitana. Clostra. Pyro. Clostra pyro. Pyrophobia. Yes, in Jesus' name. I break the power of that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? There's some people... Yes. A lot of times, the spirits can lodge inside your rib cage, up here in your chest, around your heart, around your lungs. And you can feel it. And it's difficult to take a deep breath. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And often when you give yourself over to something and you finally come out of it, and it's hard and there's something lump that's a spirit. Now, if that's you, why don't you raise your hand right now? Come on, if that's you. Now, I want you to do this. I want you to put your hand right here in your sternum. Is that what that is? Okay, put there. I want you to say this in Jesus' name. Evacuate. I command you to leave. Now, leave my rib cage. From around my heart, around my lungs, every filthy spirit, every clinging spirit, every slimy spirit, I command you to rise up and go into the Lord. Take your power. Come on. Every spirit around the heart, every spirit around that heart, every spirit that's choking the heart, around the tendrils of the heart, or the chambers of the heart, I beg your power, hand you to go tonight in Jesus' name. Go! Go! Every spirit around the lungs, in the name of the Lord. Every spirit that's just suffocating, or it's difficult to breathe, the whole breathing apparatus, I beg your power, hand you to go. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Come on, let it out in Jesus' name. Take a deep, cough it out in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. Take a deep breath. I want all that pain out, all that pain, all that pressure, all that heaviness, you heavy spirit. You know what came to me? Mormons will often get people to believe in Mormonism because they say, ask God to prove it to you by the burning of the breast. And so they'll say, okay, and sure enough, they feel a burning of the breast, so they figure what the Mormon's saying is true. No using of the brain to test the reality, it's by a sign. And the people get seduced into Mormonism because of a sign of what they do when they do that. Some spirit gets on them. But it occurred to me that that's not just in Mormonism. That same spirit will come on anybody a lot of times when they ask God, when they're testing God. Because it's testing. It's saying, well, if this is true, let me feel this. It's like a fleece, you know. Let me feel this. Let me prove it to me, Lord. And you can open yourself to a spirit. You know, Christ said himself, I shall not tempt the Lord thy God. We're not to test God or ask God to prove things to us. We say, Lord, I accept you by faith. Amen? We come to him by faith, and then God in his pleasure will come up and by many infallible proofs. Acts 1 says he proves it by many infallible. He'll prove himself to you, but you accept him by faith. Say this, in Jesus' name, Father, forgive me for ways I've tempted you, presumed upon you, doubted you, or wanted you to prove yourself to me. That was folly. I lay it down. I choose to believe you by faith, accept your love by faith. And if you're so pleased to prove it, praise God. But I lay it down in Jesus' name. Now come on. All the burning of the breast, all of the heaviness of the chest, all of the weight, all the weight, all the heavy weight, I beat you back, get you to go tonight in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Come on. All the weight on the lungs in Jesus' name. God wants you to breathe. Lord, I ask you to send healing anointing right now in those lungs, Lord, and the apparatus and the breathing apparatus. Lord, if there's any carcinogens from cigarette smoke, I ask in your mercy. If there's been repentance and the renouncing of that junk, Lord, heal. Heal. Father, I pray in your mercy you'll go down there and you'll heal the residual cancer. My dad smoked 40 years. He quit the last 5 years and he still died of complications of lung cancer. If some of y'all smoked years ago, Lord, I pray in your mercy, turn it around in Jesus' name. Turn it around in your mercy. Turn it around. Undo, Lord, the effect of those years that the cancer worm, the canker worm, let me say the cancer worm did eat, Lord. Undo that in Jesus' name. Can I amen? Oh, I like these sessions. Boy, you go through all kind of things, don't you? The Holy Spirit leads a few more things. Just about 200 more. I'm kidding. Grinding of the teeth. Grinding of the teeth. Anybody suffer with grinding of teeth at night? Put your hand on your jaw right now. In Jesus' name, teeth, you're under the authority of Jesus. I speak to the spirits of fear, of anxiety, of deep anxiety that would cause me to fret at night. I lose freedom of movement and relaxation to the jaw in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I command right now every spirit, any and every spirit assigned or attached to those jaws that would manifest itself in that way that's rooted down inside the soul, I pick your power now in Jesus' name. Go, go. From the whole jaw system, come on, from the whole, all that whole skeletal part of the skull in Jesus' name, go. I break your power. TMJ in Jesus' name. Any disfigurement of the jaw, misalignment of the jaw, I pick any spirit that would hinder. Father, I pray for a creative miracle to hear where there's a misalignment, to bring correct alignment in Jesus' name. So that the teeth will fall correctly and there'll be no need. How many of y'all are afraid of the dentist? How many of y'all are afraid of the dentist? Come on. Do I see y'all like the dentist? This reminds me of a terrible joke. Can I say it? I mean, it's a terrible joke. But it's incredibly funny. It's incredibly funny. No, but this is so fun. This is terrible. But it's, I gotta tell it. It's incredible. You know, they say four out of people suffer from diarrhea. Does that mean the fifth person enjoys it? I'm sorry. I thought it was a terrible. Oh, where do those things come from? You know what? A little lightness. What is a merry heart? Dental teeth. See, the idea of life, four out of people don't like the dentist. That'd be the fifth person enjoys it. How many have four of them, four pulled out of you today? Come on. In Jesus' name, say this. In the name of the Lord, I lay down fears of any and all doctors. And they're probing. I used to think you have to be serious and deliver sessions. You know, I don't know why. A mental torment. Come on, a few more now. Migraine headaches. Come on. Migraine headaches. In the name of Jesus, put your hand on your head. This head is Jesus' head. Because he took thorns in his skull and suffered horrible pain so that I could be free. Headache, in Jesus' name, I apply the blood that trickled from the Savior's skull, from the thorns. Father, apply that blood. Let it go deep into my brain, into my skull, into the very nerve endings, into the very demon, the very spirit that would cause these headaches. Now, Satan, I loose you from your assignment. You leave my brain, my membrane, my temples, from behind my eyes, from the base of my skull, from the top of my spine, I command you now to flee. Now! I peak your power! I command you to go now! Now! Go! Go! Go, psychic spirits! Go, witchcraft spirits! Go, judgment spirits! Go, accusing spirits! Go, kundalini spirits! I break the spirit of the snake! The spirit of the witchcraft snake! In Jesus' name, spirit of Hindu snakes, Hinduism, I take your power. Psychic powers, visualization, false concentrations, mind control. I take your spirit of mind control, the band around the mind. I take it. Change you to go. Loosen the mind now. Take a deep breath. Come on. Change you to go now. Father in your mercy, sweep the Holy Ghost and heal. Right down to the roots, Lord. Right down to the roots. Heal. Oh, lama kotoroma, heal, Jesus. Heal. Oh, so Jesus came to give us life and life is more abundant. Can you amen? You can't have an abundant life with a headache. Hallelujah. You learn to resist these things, folks. Resist them when they come. And then God does a certain degree of stuff in a mass deliverance. But it's to train you and teach you. The real meat of this is later. Okay? You go, that's right. That's right. That's right. I have authority. You know? And I can tell this pain to go. I can tell this, like you've heard the testimony about that that horrible root canal I was going to have. It was before we moved out of Memorial House. And I was sitting at dinner. Remember, I said, oh, my God, there it is. The same symptom from the other one that was instantly healed. But God made me earn this one. Every day, three or four times a day for a year, every day I said, no, root canal, go, no, go. And do you know, praise the Lord, it's gone. Hallelujah. I don't know what he did. It's healed. I felt the pain much more. And now maybe once every month I feel the pain. Maybe once every 3 weeks I feel the what? No, go, in Jesus' name. And I don't know, I'm not saying it's going to happen every time. God was good. He did it. He showed me some are instant, some you have to keep resisting. Can you hear amen? I have a higher faith level. You know you have a higher faith level for certain types of things? The other day, David was asking me to pray for him about some earwax. And I said, brother, and I began to immediately tell him, look, there's these drops I use. I went to the doctor and they clear, because I have earwax problems all the time and I've learned to use drops because I get ear infections. And as I pray for him, I said, you know, I don't have any faith to pray for people these years. Because I use drops because I have a regular problem with it. And I said, unfortunately, in this area, I don't have much faith. You need to get prayer from somebody else. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with using those drops. Praise the Lord. I don't have, I don't have a lot of faith in that, unfortunately. That's unfortunate because I guess it's because of a chronic problem. And but you know what? There's a lot of areas I do have faith about. I want to get probably have faith in all of it. Can you hear amen? We can walk in that kind of faith. Hallelujah. A few more places. Fear about the truth about yourself. Fear about the truth about yourself. Fear of your truth. Fear of who you really are being exposed. Fear of seeing yourself as you really are. Come on. Come on. Let it go. Don't go, ooh, let it go. Let it go. Fear of seeing yourself as you really are. Amen? Come on. Say this. Jesus, let me see myself as much as you want me to. The way I really am. The reason I said that is if you really saw yourself the way you really were, we couldn't handle it. So he dibs it in little dibs and dabs. You know what I mean? So in Jesus' name, Satan, you get out of my life. All these fears, all these worries, all this restlessness, all this panic, I renounce you in Jesus' name.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.